It's the afternoon. I know what overtakes us all in the afternoon. So, we're going to help you. In a few minutes, we are going to go into a time of soaking. It's through experience. I know this works. Okay? It works really well. Now, just so that you're aware, if some of you fall asleep, that's perfectly all right. Some of you obviously need to nap. Okay? Afternoons, that's a good time to do it. My only word of caution to you is, if you snore, someone may come over and just poke you or gently roll you or something like that. We found there's a direct correlation between the level of snoring and whether the person's a pastor or not. Now, obviously, some of you may, you know what soaking is, but I understand also there may be others that are saying, soaking? Well, what on earth is soaking? Well, it's a time, really, when we choose to be Mary's instead of Martha's. Now, how many people understand Martha's are good? I think Martha's getting a bad rap in all of this stuff. We need Martha's. You understand nothing would ever get done if we were all Mary's all the time. Okay? As good as Mary's choices were, Martha's get stuff done. The thing is, what I've discovered is worldwide, the church is mostly made up of Martha's. And so on the one hand, stuff gets done. But on the other hand, unless we have that motivation of falling in love, the stuff that gets done is done not out of a place of rest, but out of a place of striving. Back home, we probably have more pastors come. I mean, this next conference, next week that we're going to be in, I know because we've done this for 18 years. They come and they say, I am fed up with being a pastor. We had one poor guy on the stage, and he said, I don't even like people anymore, and that's not good for a pastor. But they're just at that place where, you know, unless something happens, they're going to go sell insurance. They're burned out. They just don't want to do the stuff anymore. And so we just encourage them to fall in love again and just to lift off expectation and performance and striving and all the rest of it. And as they make good choices, God just comes. And he just seems to lift stuff off. And for the most part, we've seen wonderful things happen when the conference is done. They go back home and they made a decision. They're going to operate out of a place of rest, not out of a place of striving. Well, soaking is something that we do because Mary did it. Now, I mean, you know the story, don't you? But what would happen if you understood that Jesus was going to come to your house? What would you do? Put your feet up on the on the couch and just kind of wait till he got there? Yeah. You are far too performance-oriented for this. I know. I mean, I could even ask you, how many people have a to-do list? What are you doing here? Now, how's that for condemnation? Okay, right there. So I just break that off, all right, in Jesus' name. If it was me and I heard Jesus was going to come to my house, I mean, the first thing I would be doing, because I am really performance-oriented, I'd be cleaning the place up. You know, who left those guitar magazines on the floor? Where did these broken guitar strings come from? Oh, the cat's just thrown up all over the floor. And how many people is he bringing with him? 12? What do we got to eat? There's not enough. Okay. You, quick, you go ahead and get something to eat. You, clean up this cat. I'm sorry, someone's got to do it. I'll get the magazines. But, you know, we'd all of a sudden be getting very busy. Because you want it, yes, you would. You'd want it to be nice for Jesus. Yes, you would. Yes, you would. Yes. Yeah. So, Jesus arrives, and you escort him into your living room. And then you get back to doing the stuff, getting the food ready and all the rest. But you've noticed your sister, Mary, the lazy one. She hasn't come out to help you. You know what she's doing? She's in the living room still, sitting at Jesus' feet, doing nothing! And you know that she knows that she's supposed to be helping. So you let it go for a while and you do the stuff, but she's not looking like she has any intention of ever coming out. And so you've passed by that living room a couple of times, hoping to catch her eye. And when you do, it's like... And she is totally ignoring you. Finally, you appeal to Jesus. Okay, Jesus, tell her to help me. I think that's perfectly reasonable. I don't think that's out of line at all. But you know, Jesus' response absolutely changed our future. I mean, totally changed our future. Martha, Martha, oy vey. No, he didn't say that. Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things. But Mary has chosen the best part, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, this is wild. This is huge. She was, in the eyes of the world, accomplishing nothing. That was the best part? Well, Jesus, what about evangelism? What about missions? You mean this is better than that? And I think what he's saying is, yes. Don't go to the mission field. Don't do the evangelism until you're a lover. That's the important thing. That's the basic thing. That's where we start. That's where we finish. Everything else is all about that. Falling in love. Receiving the love of our Father. You know, we may have a lot of books on our bookshelf. You know, a prophetic intercession and all the stuff. But the love of the Father is not another book. It's the bookshelf. All the other books sit on that issue. That's the foundation for all the stuff that we do. That's why Jesus said it's important. Now you'd think, if Jesus had said himself, this is the best part, we'd be doing it. We'd be doing it. But we're busy people. Bless the Marthas. And please understand, I'm not saying stop being a Martha. Please understand that. All I'm saying is occasionally, we need to be a Mary. We need to just sit at his feet and just receive. We call soaking active rest. So let me just help you with this. The rest part. You know what you do when you rest? Nothing. That wasn't too hard. So what we're going to do in a few minutes, Connie's going to come and share a little bit first. I want you to find a place that's comfortable. There's carpet at the back. There's carpet up here. Roll something up behind your neck and lie down. In church? Yeah. Yeah. Some of you may feel more comfortable in just sitting in. Some of you are going, break it off. Feel free to just sit in your chairs. That's okay too. But I want you to know, if you fall asleep, you won't like what will happen next. If you're already on the ground, it's never a problem, okay? So, the rest part is, you do nothing. Now, what's the active part? The active part is, we're choosing to open our spirits to whatever Jesus wants to do, whatever he wants to speak in. That's the active part. I mean, it's not just a question of lying down and falling asleep, as good as that might be. What we want is for Jesus to have an opportunity. When else does he have that kind of opportunity? In the midst of all our busyness. It's when we take time to actually plan to do nothing. That's right. Plan to do nothing. And invite him to come and just speak and do. I want you to know we have heard thousands and thousands of testimonies of people being healed, physical healing, deliverances taking place, people falling more in love in terms of their marriages, people falling more in love with Jesus, wanting to get back into the scriptures again. I mean, this is good fruit. This isn't enemy fruit. This is God fruit. And so we looked at this and we think, wow, God, you are amazing. You love to do stuff all by yourself. I told you that story last time we were here. I'll just quickly tell you again. Guy walks up to me after worship and he says, Jeremy, while we were worshiping, God healed me. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, I've had terrible back problems for years and years. I've been to doctors, chiropractors, medication. Nothing has worked. Even bend over just a tiny little bit, excruciating pain. And then he bent over several times and he said, there's no pain at all. I'm absolutely free. I can bend, twist. There's no pain. And then I said to him, oh, you mean while we were worshiping, someone came up to you and laid hands on you and said, Kingdom of God, come. Or because of what Jesus has accomplished on the cross, I receive my healing now. Something like that. And he said, no, nobody came over to me at all. And I blurted out these words. I said, you mean God did that all by himself? Now, you know, sometimes you say something and right after you said it, you go, duh. That was one of those times. And you know, what we've discovered is he's actually very good at doing it all by himself. Who would have thought? I wouldn't have thought that. This is amazing. But you know, we've discovered he's actually, I dare say it, better than we are. So let's give him an opportunity as we rest in an active fashion. Okay, Connie, do you want to share a little more some scriptures?
Remember, I was talking about Iceland last night and what happened at the end of the weekend. We'd been doing a lot of soaking all weekend. It was a soaking in his presence weekend, we called it. And again, it says, as God poured in to us during the time of soaking, there's all kinds of things that happen. You know, God pouring his love in and doing some healing of the bodies or their hearts, you know, just healing them all up. All these things were happening. And then at the end of the weekend, it's like this fresh empowerment. Do you know that God wants to give empowering to those he's intimate with? Think about that. Think about the disciples. They hung around with Jesus for 3.5 years. And then he said, okay, now that we're in relationship, and now that you've heard my heart, and now that you've heard my teachings, and you're getting it down here in your heart, now I'm going to release the keys of the kingdom. Matthew 13, he said, the secrets to the keys of the kingdom I've given to such as these. Those he's in relationship with. He was talking about the Pharisees and saying, though hearing, they don't really hear. Though seeing, they don't really hear. And you know why he said it? He said it was because their hearts were hardened. They had hard hearts. But because the disciples had soft hearts and were receiving the teaching and that intimate relationship with him, they're the ones that could hear and could see. You want to hear and see things in the spiritual realm? It comes out of that intimate relationship. Well, how do you cultivate relationship with your husband or wife? We found the best things like this last week in Fiji. You know, I had some quality time. But we had some quality time together, walking on the beach together. You know, having time to listen to each other, listen to each other's heart. Isn't that what you do? You do things to deliberately cultivate intimacy in your relationship. It really helps. Same with our time with God. We're cultivating intimacy by spending quality time with him. And then because of that intimate relationship, he wants to empower us to go out and bring the kingdom to this earth and to impact it. Everywhere that you go, when you are so full of the presence of the Holy Spirit yourself, everywhere you go, it's like the kingdom is advanced with you. You walk into that grocery store and the kingdom of God has just arrived in that place. You know, everywhere you go at work, the atmosphere changes. Why? Because the kingdom of God is within you, living within you, because Jesus lives inside you. Whoa. Think about that for a minute. That changes everything, doesn't it? It should change the way we think about ourselves when we walk around on this earth. You know, go for a walk, and everywhere you step, the kingdom of God is advancing. Whoa. Because the kingdom of God is within you. It all comes first from that place of intimacy and then empowering. And we have seen that. You know, it took us a long time to figure that one out. You know, we'd be going to conferences, and we'd say, yeah, we want the power and the signs and wonders and miracles and all those things. And we go into a conference, and it's like, that's where we're going, right? That's what we're heading for this weekend. And like the first night or so, it seemed like everything was so quiet. And God was taking us into deeper, intimate places. So we, you know, learning how to follow and do what he was doing. And what we found time and time again, until we finally got it, the Lord saying, intimacy first, then empowering. Or as Jeremy said, intimacy first, then missions, then evangelism, then strategies. For anybody want to be a better intercessor? We do, right? We want to be able to see in the spiritual realm to pray with prophetic intercession. The Lord will give you the strategies how to do it. Just like David when he went to war. God gave him strategies. But you know how David got that? He would go out and win every single war. I want to win every war, don't you? You know how David, he would go and sit before the Ark of the Covenant. sit in God's presence. What he did is he wanted God first and foremost just for who he was, not for all the things he could give him. Not for all the strategies of war, not even for all the giftings or all those kinds of things. He wanted God first and foremost for him. You know how I know that? Because I've read the Psalms that David's written. You know, oh God, you are my God. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there's no water. Or as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs after you. You know, there's so many psalms, you know, where he says, I just want to gaze at your beauty and I want to seek your face. My heart says of you, seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek. Or just that I love the place where your glory dwells. All these psalms that he's written, you can hear the longing of his heart, don't you? It was first for relationship. And that's why God saves a man after his own heart. Out of intimate relationship. And then from that place, as he sat in front of that Ark of the Covenant just to spend time with God, just to seek his face and be there with him, the byproduct was then God would download all the strategies for war. And then God would say, you go do this and this and you know, ambush them this way. And I mean, they'd win the war every time. You want to be a powerful intercessor? Spend time first and foremost for God without thinking of praying for the world or for the church or everybody else, but just for time alone with him, just for relationship. And that will automatically flow out of it as a byproduct. You want to be able to prophesy better? Anybody want to prophesy better? Yeah? It comes from relationship. You see, if we give a prophetic word, you can give the accurate words, but if you don't do it with the heart of God, that's when it hurts people. Comes out with a harshness, a judgmental attitude and things. We have to have the heart of God first. See, if you know your Father's heart, you're so intimately acquainted with him, that then you can know what he's thinking, what he's feeling, what he wants to do. And when you think of a person, say, Father, what do you want to speak into this person's life? You feel what's on his heart, not just hear the words. And that's when it's going to come across, not only with the words, but with his heart. It all flows out of intimate relationship. We've got to cultivate intimate relationship first. You know, if we want to go and evangelize, well, why do we want them to come into the kingdom? Because we want to introduce them to their loving Heavenly Father. We want them to know how loving he is. And when you go with that heart, because you've experienced the love of the Father for yourself, And it's easy to evangelize because your heart of compassion and love for them compels you to bring them into the kingdom of love, of your Father's love. It all comes, as I said, from that place of intimacy. And we can get off track so easily. We really can. We can get so focused on all these things, doing the good works of the kingdom, so focused on those things and so busy with those things that we forget that the whole focus is him. He is the one that's the pearl of great price that's worth selling everything else for. Just to have a relationship with him. Everything else will flow from that place. So we want to get it right, don't we? We want to get it right where we come into that place of intimacy with him. And that's why we want to have quality time with him in the soaking. Like this is something God started to do sovereignly when God started to pour out in our church in 1994. With a sovereign move of God, we're saying, people, you know, he's fallen all over the floor, you know, and stuff happening, and I'm not falling on the floor. And I didn't even want to fall on the floor. But I'm saying, God, why are you doing that? And I felt drawn over to one person, and as I looked at them, I felt like God said to me, I've got their full attention now. Ah, that's what you're doing. Because sometimes they'd be down there 3, 4, or 5 hours at a time. I mean, when you see little six-year-old kids lying on the floor for 4 or 5 hours at a time getting downloads of visions, you know that's got to be God. And, you know, all these things that were happening on the floor, they get up and all these incredible things they were sharing that God spoke to them about. He healed their heart over different things. All while they just were giving him his time and attention. You know, there's a verse in 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, the eyes of the Lord search throughout the land, looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Why? Because he wants to pour strength into you. Why is he looking for you? Doesn't he know where you are? He knows you're sitting right there, doesn't he? Why is he looking for you then? I think it's because he's looking to see if you're looking back at him. Kind of like when you turn and turn your eyes and attention to him, he says, ah, there you are, I was looking for you. And once it's like that eye-to-eye connection that happens, the spirit-to-spirit connection that happens. Just like if I look at Lynette's foot, I tell you, that's totally different than looking her in the eyes, isn't it? Yeah. See, what happens when I looked in Lynette's eye? The smile came on her face. Even her eyes smiled. You've got beautiful eyes that smile. You know that? And the thing is, there's a spirit-to-spirit connection that happens, isn't there? Yeah. Someone has said our eyes are like the windows of our soul. And when you look in a person's eyes, it's like I'm not looking to see what color her eyes are. That's not the point, is it? I'm looking to see what she's thinking, what she's feeling, how she's feeling towards me, you know? And you know, you're trying to read each other through the eyes, aren't you? Same thing with God. It's like this eye-to-eye connection that you have with him. You're looking in his eyes and he's looking at yours. I mean, maybe you can't see them. Maybe you don't know what color they are. That doesn't matter, right? What I know from Scripture is his eyes are full of love for us. His eyes are flaming with fire of love. You know, it's just as he gazes at you and you gaze at him, there's this wonderful connection that happens. Again, that's why we don't want to keep him way off in a distance, but we want to get right up close in his face. And we want to give him permission again in our faith. Yeah. Do some of your young people have that expression, get out of my face? Do they say that sometimes? Yeah. Or, you know, that person's so in your face. It means you're so close that you feel uncomfortable it's so close, right? Well, get into God's face and give him permission, as I said, to get right into yours, up close and personal. You know, because he is never far away from us. Never. Remember that verse I shared? You know, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil's taken away and you're right there in his presence. He's so close that as we draw near, that he said, promised in James 4:8, that he'd draw near to us, and he's right there. So when you come, and whether you, well, like if you spend time soaking, people say sometimes, oh, it's a waste of time. I've tried it and I don't hear anything. I don't get anything at all. So why bother? Well, sometimes, you know, when I come and I come and sit beside Jeremy, he might be watching TV, I might be reading a book, doing totally different things, but I just like to be sitting there beside him when I do it. Sometimes you don't have to say a word. Or sometimes when people are in love, you sit across the table from someone and all these messages of love that pass between you, you know, without a word being spoken, you know. So sometimes you come to God just to be with him and say, I just want to be here with you. If he wants to say something, that's okay, but if not, that's okay too. Let's just be together. Enjoy being with him. Enjoy being in his presence because he's right there with you. So close. Now, sometimes it said you might not see his eyes. Some people say they can see his eyes when they look. Other people can't. That's okay. Don't worry about that. Just keep pressing in and keep looking. But no, you see from 2 Chronicles 16:9, what that also tells me, when his eyes are looking for me, that tells me that whenever I turn my eyes to him, he's already looking right back at me. Whether I see them or not, he's already looking right at me. It's like, oh, there's this connection that happens. Knowing he's looking at me and I'm looking at him. He's giving me his attention, I'm giving him his. Wow, I'm giving him my attention. And this connection takes place. It's a spirit-to-spirit connection that takes place. It's like our spirits come forward to connect with the Spirit of God. I've got a verse. It's in Corinthians. Oh, I had that out a minute ago. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but he who unites himself to the Lord is one with him in spirit. This oneness that Jeremy was talking about today. You're one with him in spirit, the spirit-to-spirit connection that happens with him. And from that place, he will start to speak to you. He will start to show you things, and you'll start to get pictures. As you give him that time and attention, you tune in to listen, you tune in to hear and to see, and you will start to get more and more all the time. And you will start to feel more of his presence. If you don't feel that now, don't worry about it. That's not the point. The point is, know that you're already right there in his presence. Spending time with him. Now, it's interesting that he says that during that time, he wants to pour in things into your heart and life. Pour in the things that you need, all the resources you need for life and living, he has available, because he said his grace is sufficient for absolutely everything you need. Do you need a few things? Okay, I'll read some scriptures of some of the things he promised he'll pour in. Okay? One is Romans 5:5. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given to us. You see, it's a sovereign thing. It's by the Holy Spirit. He pours that love deep into your heart. Anybody need love? We all do, right? Yeah, and he says he'll pour it in. And in fact, Ephesians 3:16 to 19 says you can't even tell how high and wide and long and deep is the love of God unless the Holy Spirit gives it to you deep in the depths of your innermost being. In other words, you need to experience his love in the depths of your being to know that you know that you know that you're loved by him. You can't do that unless it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a sovereign work. You just come to him and he will fill you. He will pour that love in that you need as you bring that need to him. In Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, another sovereign work by the power of the Spirit. How many of you have tried to hope harder? Come on, admit it. We all have tried to hope harder and it doesn't work, does it? No. We get quite hopeless sometimes, don't we? And this says, well, not only he won't just give you a little bit of hope. It says you'll abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he'll throw that love and joy in at the same time and peace. Yeah, as a side bonus. Then it says in Colossians 1:11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, again, his power, it's the Holy Spirit's work, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might so that you might have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks. Well, how many of you need patience? How many of you have kids? Yeah, husbands and wives. You know, parents, grandparents, employers, employees. You know, I mean, how many of you have people in your life that you need a lot of extra grace for? Yeah, okay. Well, this says he would strengthen us to give us great endurance and patience. Well, I don't know if about you, but it's, you know, with my kids, when my kids used to, you know, they'd be getting on my nerves, and I'd be saying, on the outside, I'm thinking, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be patient with my kids, and I'm going to speak sweetly to them and be nice to them, even though they're getting on my nerves, and inside, I'm starting to boil, you know. But on the outside, it's okay. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be nice. Until I'm boiling more and more, until I can't take it anymore. And I explode and I'm yelling at the kids. It's like, oh God, I'm so sorry. I've blown it again. You know, I blew up at the kids again. I've been so impatient. Oh Lord, just, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You know what I found out? Kids like it when their parents soak. They found out they get better moms and dads when they soak. I have this friend who says her little girl one time when she was getting, you know, all irate about something and really upset about something, her little girl came and tugged on her pant leg and said, Mommy, I think it's time to go soak. They know they benefit. Yeah, you spend time in the presence of God, you start glowing with the presence of God. You start reacting to situations differently. You react the way Jesus would react. You become more like Jesus. Anybody here want to become more like Jesus? I want to become more like Jesus. Well, if I spend time soaking in his presence, you know, 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 says that I'm going to be transformed in his glory, in his presence. I get transformed to be more and more like him all the time. It's as we spend time in his presence. That's what soaking's all about. Spending that time with him to become more and more like him. Wow. It's amazing we don't spend a lot more time than we do. When you see all the benefits that come as a result of that. Well, so what we want to do is we want to spend some quality time with him right now. As Jeremy said, you might fall asleep. Well, for me, one of the times, someone told me one time that if you're going to start to really learn how to hear God's voice and you want dreams and visions, they said when you wake up in the morning, when you're just sort of still in that twilight zone, you know, you're just starting to come out of it, just spend a time right then, just focus on the Lord. Say, Lord, do you have anything to show me, anything to say to me? And just spend a little bit more time in bed, just lying there, because your mind isn't so active. Your mind's sort of more on hold, and now it's like the Holy Spirit can start speaking more. And I often will get my dreams. I can't tell then, is it a dream or is it a vision? Because I'm half asleep and half awake. You know? But whatever, it's just, you know, somewhere in there that I get it. And that may happen as you soak as well. In fact, sometimes people are so tired that they're not getting anything at all. Have you ever had that in your devotional time with God? You're just, oh, falling asleep. Well, maybe he wants to take you under first. But you go under the power of the Holy Spirit. Let him start to speak to you, minister to you, even as you're sleeping. Because there's scriptures that say to meditate on the Lord all through the night. You know, he doesn't mean stay awake all night. He means, you know, think about him when you go to sleep. You may put some soaking music on, you know, worship music on when you go to sleep, and let it minister deep into your spirit as you're sleeping. And as you do, God will be doing a work in your heart. Sometimes he does surgery on you. I mean, you wouldn't want to go into surgery wide awake, would you? So maybe he's doing surgery on your heart while you're sleeping. If you invite his presence to come and do that, he will. But then, again, when you come up, as Jeremy says, active rest, you want to actively tune in to listen, actively tune in to hear and to see things and see what he'll give to you. And I know that soaking can never, ever, ever be a waste of time. Ever. Why do I know that? From Luke 11, verses 11 to 13. Chapter 11, verse 11 starts by saying, if you ask your father for fish, well, what's he going to give to you? Not a stone? Not a scorpion? No, another gospel says if you ask him for bread, what's he going to give you? Bread. Okay. Well, if you keep reading in Luke 11, 11 to 13, you go down further. Verse 13 explains what that verse is talking about. And it says he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Read it if you don't quite believe me, but it's there. You see, if you ask your father for the Holy Spirit, what are you going to get? What if you didn't hear anything? What did you get? If you didn't see any pictures or anything, what did you get? Yeah, you ask him for the Holy Spirit, and that's what you're going to receive, is Holy Spirit. He's promised it, and he's good on his promises, isn't he? So you know that when you ask him for that, you're going to receive that. And what's going to happen is that you're going to start seeing more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. From Galatians 5, what are some of the fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control. All these wonderful qualities. That's what's going to be the fruit of it in your life if you spend time asking to be filled up more with the Holy Spirit. You see, that's what happened with Jeremy. When God was pouring out powerfully in our church, he wasn't feeling anything. He didn't seem to visibly be getting anything at all. But over a period of time, you know, I just said to him, you know what, you're changing. You're just so much more, you know, gentle and more patient and more loving. And you know the true test is on the road when someone cut them off. Yeah, things were changing. More grace, you know, more patience. That was happening in his heart, and I could see that. It was the fruit of the Holy Spirit from spending time in his presence. And you become more of a carrier of his glory, more a carrier of his presence everywhere you go. You get transformed into his likeness from glory to glory. You ready for us to be transformed some more and to spend time with him today? Now again, the ministry team, I want to encourage ministry team, spend at least half your time soaking as well, all right? You probably know this already, know how to do this well, right? You're trained at this church. What nights do you say you have soaking here? Tuesday night, if you want to come for a place to soak, you come here on Tuesday night and come soak with this gang here. Yeah, they know how to do it. So their ministry team, you know, they may come around, but they'll spend at least half their time soaking as well. Because you know that you have nothing to give away unless you spend time receiving yourself, right? So then you might feel a hand on your shoulder or your head or something. They're just saying, more Holy Spirit. More, just fill them, pour into them, just agreeing with God, whatever he's doing, that's all. So they probably won't even say much out loud, you know, unless God gives them something more specific just to whisper to you, but they don't want to interrupt you. Mostly they just want to bless what God's doing, okay? But you just tune into the Holy Spirit and see what he wants to say and do. Open your heart wide to him. It's like we bring our spirits forward to receive because we connect with him spirit to spirit, don't we? So you say, you bring forth my spirit to connect with Holy Spirit and receive from him today. Want to do that? Yeah. Okay. Any other instructions you want to give? Let's just do it. I'm going to read some scriptures over you as well when we're in, and we'll sing over you. So you just have to lie there and soak it up and just receive from him and see what he's got for you today. All right.